how to behave in a moment of crisis. Our conversation is going to express either our fear or our faith. You know, what you say, what you speak is going to identify where you're at. And we need to be determined to be the ones that are at this time speaking only what we believe. And that's the promises of God. The promises of God that we believe. Because I tell you, you have an opportunity of speaking a whole lot of other things at the moment. Anyone that's in business, anyone that's in work, that where there's talk and that going on. And you might hear a report that comes to you and says, well, and you're going to go, and even if you have to do it quietly, or well, I believe what the Word of God says, you know, at this time. I'm going to believe what the promises say. I'm going to believe that God is still on the throne. Amen. And He's my Heavenly Father. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the wealth in every mine. He knows how to send the ravens. He knows how to look after His kids. Praise the Lord. So, you know, just be careful even when you're in your friendship huddles that your conversation is uplifting and not fear-based. Pretty important. You know, because I know what it's like, you know, Christians, you know, we can sort of, on Sunday, we're all speaking the word, we're saying what we should be saying, etc. But we've got those friends that we like to get around with who are Christians as well. And that's when the conversation can go south sometimes, where we're just able to really speak how it really is. Now, let me tell you this morning, how it really is what God's word says. Amen? That's how it really is. And we ought to be just speaking how it really is, according to the word of God. See, what we believe gets into our conversation. Jesus said that from the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. And I want us to look at that passage of scripture in Luke chapter 6 and verse 45. It says, a good man brings good things out of a good treasure of his heart. How did he get a good treasure in his heart? He put it in there. Just let that word get into your heart, you know, just meditate the word, speak the word, find the promises of God. At this moment in time, if things are looking a little shaky, I'd memorize 6 scriptures on provision. I'd memorize them so that if someone pushes your hot button in that area and gets a little bit of a, ooh, you've got 6 scriptures that you can just go boom, 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 get them out there. 6 scriptures. And even if that's just in your head, what a defense. A good man brings good things out of good treasure of his heart. An evil man brings evil things out of the evil treasure of his heart. So he hasn't been putting nothing good in there. So for out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what's coming out of your mouth? Is it from that good treasure that you put in there? Amen. Should be. Last week we looked at some verses that should be front and center in our focus. Last week, Psalm 91 was read by Jess in its entirety, and it contains a promise of divine protection. And of course, we'll read that, Psalm 91 and verse 9 to 11. It says, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Thank the Lord. Quite a relevant passage to be meditating on in the current COVID-19 pandemic situation. Of course, the question today is, what are we believing and what are we saying? Because we've got right here something to be saying, something to be, you know, on our conversation, in our heart, meditating and saying this. We saw last week, we should always be like the guy who built his house on the rock. That solid foundation of both hearing God's word and doing God's word. So it's not just the hearing. So you can hear it and hear it and hear it, but we've got to do it as well. And so I want to talk about that a little bit today. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 27, as we saw last week. Therefore, this is Jesus speaking. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Now, I happen to know a little block of land down south, very good to build on. It's got rocks in it. And I've been told that it'll be very difficult to build on that block because it's got rocks on it. I'm thinking, no, it'll be good to build on that block because it's got rocks on it. You know, in other words, it's a good thing because you can get a good firm foundation on the slope of the block. But it says there, The rain fell, the torrents raged, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because its foundation was on the rock. Very good. Look what it goes on to say. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And then rain fell, the torrents raged, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was its collapse. It's worth noticing that the storms of life come to all of us. Just as we can see here, we could make the mistake of thinking that if we hear and do the word like Rock Man, the storm won't come. That's not what it's saying. No. The storm still comes. It just doesn't bring the destruction that is experienced by the guy that just heard the word. Sandman. Just heard the word. He didn't do it. He heard it but didn't do it. So the storm came with destruction. So we can still, even as hearers and doers of the word, experience storms. Come and rock our boat, rock our situation, and we can sort of rock around a little bit, but it's the destruction that we really want to avoid. So here's a question this morning. I got a real good three-point sermon for you this morning. What is a doer of the word like? Because we want to be doers according to Matthew chapter 7. We want to be doers of the word because we're going to avoid the destruction that storms bring. Amen? Amen. So let's clearly identify today the behaviours of a doer of the word. Number one, doers of the word of God, first of all, place a high priority on hearing the word of God. Right away, right there, there's something to act on straight away. I'm going to be a hearer of the word. I want to be a doer of the word, so first of all, I have to be a hearer of the word. That can come in so many shapes and different fashions, etc. It can be just opening your Bible in the morning before you, you know, as you wake up. It could come just by talking to the Lord in your fellowship with Him and hearing His word, where He begins to speak to your heart. I love that part. You just know that He's with you and He's talking to you, letting you know that you're in His plan for the day, and you know, here's a scripture from the word, here's a direction from the word that you can go to. You can also put tapes on, preaching tapes. There's so much information out there, both on the internet, on even on cassettes and on CDs, and there's just so much information out there. We can be hearing the word all day long. I was really delighted just recently when I know a couple of believers have just recently given their hearts to the Lord here in this church, and I went to their house. I mean, I'm talking brand new. And they've got Christian music on. And I'm going, it's pretty quick. Christian music playing, and it was actually coming out of the TV. But they were playing Vision Radio through the TV, Vision Radio. And I'm going, well, that's... And they go, yeah, we really like it, talking about it like it was a real blessing to them. And I said, well, actually, the dish for that's on our roof. They went, oh, really? And we go, yeah, yeah. We've got the dish on there, and you can tune in for the channel. What's the channel, guys, for Vision Radio? 87.7. There you go. Well, there's a little fly down there if you want to grab that on the way out too. But you can listen to Vision Radio. Their doctrine's not too bad. Of course, enjoy some Christian music as well. What's the doer of the word like? Well, they put a place and do place a high priority on hearing the word. Hearers give attention to the word of God like it's important to their life. Now, there's something that you need to maybe just do a little bit of self-reflection on. Is the word of God important to your life? The answer should be yes, it is. They're not going to be casual with the word of God or let other priorities get in the way of hearing the word of God. In the Gospel of Luke, Mary and Martha are two sisters that had Jesus come over to their house for a ministry meeting. And we pick it up in Luke chapter 10, verse 38. As they travelled along, Jesus entered a village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And she had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to his message. Now, you need to understand right from the outset here that Jesus had 12 disciples. So I think any woman in here who has 12 people coming to their house, that's a fairly big affair. You know, you've got to cook and you've got to put it together and you've got to do a few things and eats and you've got to think about the drinks and have we got enough food, all of those things. But You know, Jesus, earlier in the chapter, he's sending out 70 disciples, so they're all sort of filtering back in. And so we're talking about a large turn-up of people, a fairly large entourage that Jesus has with him, and they all turned up at Mary and Martha's home for the meeting. And Martha's thinking, well, I better put some food in the oven. Start peeling some spuds. Start making a salad. I better start getting onto some of those things. And Martha, at this point, forms another priority and gets distracted by it and then projects her priority over onto Mary. And Mary's sitting there listening to the message that Jesus was teaching, the word of God that he was bringing, etc., etc. And she's projecting onto Mary, you know, this, well, we need to start, you could at least be peeling the spuds. You could at least be, you know, cutting up that salad. And so Martha comes to Jesus while he's preaching and dares to interrupt him to complain about Mary. You just imagine the room. I bet you everyone looked in the room that was listening to Jesus and went, you know, with that look. And then it says there in verse 40, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations to be made, and she came to Jesus and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me. Whoa. But everyone's sitting there waiting for the reaction, you know, and the response from Jesus. And of course, the answer to Jesus to Martha is classic, because in this response, we see the expectation of heaven regarding the attention and the high priority that we should give to hearing the word of God. It should be the highest priority. And of course, it comes out, it says, Martha, Martha, the Lord replied, you are worried and upset about many things. You don't know what was going on in Martha's heart. But she's maybe being competitive with Mary. She's thinking, there she is, she's sitting right next to Jesus. How dare she? She should be over here at least doing the dishes. She's having a whole kind of, and Jesus puts his finger right on the issues and says, you are worried and upset about many things. It's not just the dishes being done or not. She's got a whole range of emotions going on. He says, but only one thing is necessary. Notice that. But only one thing is necessary. High priority. Mary has chosen the good portion and it will not be taken away from her. In other words, all of those other things that she's worried about are nowhere near as important as being under the word of God and having that high priority of listening and receiving the word of God. You know, books, the books that we've got in the bookstore, there's great word that you could be getting into and studying. You know, there's our own Bible Believers, the New Horizons course. There's a whole range of things. There's no excuse for us to be missing out on giving that high priority to the word of God. You can never do the word that you never heard. That's mine. That's original. You can never do the word that you never heard, all right? And that's the truth. Number two, hearers of the word of God look for the opportunity to do the word of God. Hearers of the word look for the opportunity to do the word of God. So in other words, we're not waiting for it to come like a storm. We're actually active in looking for that opportunity to be doers of the word and to make it clear. Doing the word that you heard involves speaking the word that you heard. Doing the word of God involves speaking the word that you heard. Mark chapter 11, and I really believe it's important. So Jesus answered and said, have faith in God. One translation says, have the faith of God. So what's the faith of God? Well, when what God does to bring things about is he speaks the word, doesn't he? Let there be light. And there was light. God speaks the word. He's calling us to the same creative ability. And of course, God's faith is seen in what he speaks. God's word spoken brings things into being. And of course, we have a measure of that authority. God calls Abraham the father of many nations when Sarah is yet barren and they are in their old age. But he calls Abraham, the father of many nations, actually changes his name from Abram to Abraham, which actually means the father of many nations. Changes his name. Starts speaking it over him, even to the point where I'm going to call you that. I'm not just going to speak the word over you. I'm going to call you that. You're now the father of many nations. And look what it says in Romans 4:17. As it is written, I've made you the father of many nations in the presence of God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead. And look at this last part. And calls into existence the things that do not exist. calls. It's that creative ability to call things into existence, things that don't exist. And you say, well, have we got that authority? Or Jesus said, speak to the mountain. And we see it there in verse 23, and we'll go on reading. It says, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, now the mountain represents the impossible thing, and all of us have them. What seemingly is impossible in our lives, what we could do or what we could bring about, what we could change or adjust, etc. Jesus is saying, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Verse 24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them and you will have them. There's a good word for us all, is that believing and receiving part. Number three, and I'm going to finish on this point, good three-point sermon today. Hearers of the word are not forgetful. Hearers of the word are not forgetful. It's that required discipline of keeping the word of God in focus, not focusing on the problem, the impossibility, or the mountain that seems immovable. We don't have to focus on it, we just got to speak to it. We're told in Scripture that there's a focus that will keep us in perfect peace. Well, that's good news, isn't it? There is a focus that will keep us in perfect peace. And I'll read it to you in Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. It says, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. So it's not about just looking at the problem non-stop, looking at the problem, getting agitated, being fearful, being anxious, letting worry overtake you. It's not about doing that. It's looking to Jesus, you know, looking to his word, and making sure that he and his word is our focus. And as we keep our focus on the word of God and maintain our trust. Who was Jesus defined as in John chapter 1? The word that was made flesh. Keeping our eyes on Jesus. So very important. And as we keep our focus on the word and maintain our trust in it, he blesses us with perfect peace. That's the, if you're saying, what's perfect peace? Well, that's the peace that passes all understanding that we read about. It's that perfect peace that we can have in our heart. Where, you know, you wake up and you almost have to prompt yourself to start worrying because you're already in peace and you almost like need to go to that place of worry because you already got it. The problem is we need to stay there. We need to stay in that place of perfect peace. And, you know, someone who will stand and work through situations and circumstances, look at adversity with that kind of peace in their hearts. Hey, God's there. God's already there. He's already there working on it. He's already there with you. He's not going to allow you to struggle through this and try and work it out yourself. I tell you, he's going to be front and center at the point of answer. That's the peace that passes understanding, and we can just rest in that. And last scripture for today, James chapter 1. And I like it. It says in James chapter 1, verse 20, 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. Again, we get that truth. Deceiving yourself. When we're just hearers only, we deceive ourselves. When we get to the point where we realize that what's coming out of people's mouths is actually what's in their heart, we then start to get a realization that actually, sadly, this person is actually creating their own situation by that continual confession, that continual discussion, that continual unbelief. Deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Great scripture, great passage there. The idea is that we can go to the Word of God, as we do, read the Word of God, read the promise of God, and see ourselves in the light of that promise, but then sometimes walk away and forget what manner of man we are or what person, what promises we have. And that's the thing that we have to avoid. Have to be that person that's filled with the Word of God, filled with God's Spirit and His Word. And it's in that that we can have great confidence and perfect peace. Why don't we all stand to our feet this morning? And I don't know, we've got many people here that are among us and in different realms of employment, different fields of employment, different industries as well. But I just want to pray over this whole congregation and church at this time that everyone would just settle. I teach these things because if anything, and I've heard testimonies from people during the week, that there's people in their workplace that are actually coming to them, asking them about their Christianity, asking them about what they're believing at this situation. We need to have an answer. We need to have the promises of God, and we need to be able to tell people that, you know what, I feel perfect peace because I believe what God's word says about our situation, and you can too. You can have that confidence in your life as well and be at peace. Amen? This is what we ought to be out there. You know, we need to not only apply these truths to our own lives, we need to be out there with those that we come across who are fearful, who are worried, who are concerned, looking at bleak situations as far as employment goes. So why don't we pray and ask the Lord a blessing on the word today. Father, we again thank you, Lord, for your word, Lord. We thank you for its entrance into our life, Lord God, its entrance into our heart, Lord God. And today we pray, Lord God, that your word would continue to be that lamp to our feet and guide to our path, Lord God, that word that shows us where we are and shows us where we can go, Lord. We thank you for, Lord, the truth that brings revelation knowledge in our lives today, Lord, that we might step up to the application of your word, not just hearing it, but doing it. Lord, that we would see the urgency and the priority of being a people that sit at your feet and receive your word, Lord. And Lord, that we can do that with a tape. We can do that with a book, Lord God. We can do it with our open Bibles or the app on our phones, Lord. We can do all of that, Father. But most of all, Lord, that we would put it as a high priority in our lives. And Lord, that it would be such that, Father, you would just, again, command that blessing upon our lives, oh God, that we would shine with answered prayer, Father, and the testimony of you testifying to your word. And Lord, confirming your word with signs, wonders, and miracles in our lives. And Father, even as we reach out to the lives of others, pray, Lord, that you would send us as laborers across the path of others that need to hear from us, need to hear your word, Lord, need to hear the hope that is in Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray this upon each and every single person here today, seated this morning, Lord, and even those that are listening to the podcast, Father, later on. We ask, Lord God, that they'd be inspired to be doers, Father, and not just hearers, Lord. Lord, that they would be able to avoid any destruction, Father, that a storm might bring. Lord, we ask this today in the mighty name of Jesus and give you thanks and praise. And everybody said, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's go out with a song this morning. We'll have some fellowship in morning too.